Now, as we begin, I need you to know one thing. I am not a farmer or a shepherd. I've never been a farmer or a shepherd. I've never lived on a farm. And so if you are a farmer or a shepherd and you've done that, your view of what sheep are like are going to be different than mine. In fact, probably very different than mine. Having said that, I do come from a very, very rural part of southwest England. And in the village that I lived, there were lots of fields, and my best friend and I used to go regularly and walk these fields. And so we got an idea of how sheep live and act. And believe me, being called sheep, or together being called a flock of sheep, God's sheep, in my opinion, that's not necessarily a good thing. Because in my opinion, sheep suffer from some quite significant flaws. They get lost easily. They pick somebody to follow, and the next thing you know, they're in the middle of a busy main road. And then on a windy day, they chase after the wind. You can stand in a, and you can watch them move from this way to that as the wind changes direction. Maybe. So when the Bible speaks about how we are sheep, in my opinion, that's not necessarily a good thing. But maybe it says more about us than we would like to say. I wonder whether there are times when we get lost. I don't mean physically lost. I don't mean lost in the sense that we walk somewhere and then go take a few turns and then before we know it, we don't know what street we're in. I mean lost in the sense that somewhere life has taken a direction and somehow we don't really know where we are anymore. We don't know how we got here and life just seems all a bit amorphous at the moment. Sorry, I used a big word, amorphous there. What I mean is I mean sort of just lost, just sort of not with any sense of shape or direction or just feeling lost. That's what I mean by amorphous. I wonder whether there have been times when we've got involved with people who we would at the time call friends. They have charisma. They are good people to follow. And then before we know it, we're in a dangerous place, a frightening place, and all because we trusted them, because we thought they were our friends. I wonder whether there are times we just have an itch in our lives, something we can't quite put our finger on, a desire, something we can't describe. We know it's out there. We know we want it, but actually nothing quite seems to satisfy it. And that desire, that chasing after that indescribable desire feels a bit like chasing after the wind. Do you know, when I look at it, I think whilst I might not like being called a sheep, there's something of the sheep in all of us. Something that's a bit lost. Something that has always got the danger of following something that leads us into a difficult place. Something that means we're often chasing after the wind. When I look at it, perhaps it's a good time when the shepherd steps in. Now, before I get going on the shepherd, and God here in the psalm is referred to as the shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, I need to say something about Eastern shepherds as opposed to your Western European shepherds, or particularly English and Welsh and Scottish shepherds. If you've been in church for a while, you'll know this, so please forgive me. But if you've not heard it, unlike English shepherds or Scottish or Welsh shepherds who have dogs and are very good at moving sheep in a particular direction and they herd the sheep. First century shepherds are different. From the moment their lambs are born, they speak to them And so eastern shepherds lead their flocks. They go ahead of them. They go in to find good safe passage through difficult times. They take them to good places of pasture. And the sheep know the shepherd's voice and walk after them. It's a different way of caring for them, different way of leading to them. And the picture we have in Psalm 23 of a shepherd who leads to a good place, a place of safety, a place where it is safe to lie down. Nothing dangerous here. As a shepherd, God leads his people to good food, green pastures. That might not just be food in a physical sense. That might equally be seen as food for the spirit, meaning that we are mentally and spiritually cared for. God leads us to a good place. When God acts as shepherd, he leads his people to a place of stillness, of fresh water. In a world of busyness and chaos, God brings a sense of order and peace and balance. According to the psalmist, God acts as a shepherd. He brings his people to a good place. But notice, that's right at the very beginning of the psalm. Right at the very beginning of what the psalmist has to say. It's not at the end. He doesn't lead you to that point. He begins at that point. The psalm ends with a very different picture. It ends with a banqueting table, a place of celebration. And not just any celebration. This is a celebration in the midst of the psalmist's enemies, those who've made life terrible for them. Suggesting that from the initial point of sadness and tranquility, it gets difficult. But in the end, God comes through. In the end, God comes through and is good for his people. And he brings them to a place where they can celebrate that they have been brought safely through. The psalmist sees God at work. Something else here as well. Something of an anointing. Now, an anointing is a religious ceremony. It's where oil is either poured onto the head or rubbed onto the forehead with a finger or ball of thumb. An anointing is usually part of a ceremony that puts you into a position, particularly a position in a religious context, particularly in a position that has a relationship with God. And so kings and queens are anointed on their coronations to remind them that they are subject to someone who is even higher than they are. And priests, bishops, and lowly ministers like me are anointed as part of a ceremony that puts us into the office of minister, priest, bishop, whatever. In a religious context, we act as those who share God's love, share something of God's word, represent God and the church to other people. And there's an expectation here that when the psalmist makes it to the end, they will receive an anointing. They will be given a special place in the presence amongst God's people. So here we have a banqueting table and an anointing, an expression. And there's one other thing as well, an expression that the psalmist will eventually spend all their days, a desire that they will spend all their days with God in a place Christians call heaven. The psalmist refers to it as the house of the Lord. There is an everlasting hope here, that a trust placed in to God will lead to being always with him. But notice I've talked about the beginning and the end, and I've left out the bit in the middle. The starting point is nice, and the journey at the and the end point is even better. But in the middle, there's a tough bit. We've already seen it, hints of it, when the psalmist talks about a banquet in the presence of all his enemies. But the bit in the middle talks about a darkest place. In other versions of the Bible, it talks about the shadow of the the shadow of death, the valley of the shadow of death. And here the psalmist relies most of all on God. When life gets tough, when life gets frightening, God as shepherd is there. And he says, the psalmist says, the shepherd's rod and their staff keep them safe. They give them comfort. Scholars describe a rod as a sort of mace or a hammer. It's a weapon. It's a stick with a big lump on the end that you can hit something with. And if you hit something or someone with it, you do real damage. It's a protective weapon. But scholars also say it's similar to what kings and queens sometimes carry as part of their coronation, a scepter. It means authority. So the psalmist is using rod in two ways here, to say that God is able to protect and that God has the authority and the ability to protect. The staff is a little different. It's a long, slender stick. Sometimes it comes with a crook on, but not always. But it's a supporting stick. It's a very long walking stick, and its main function is to support the shepherd through the difficult, narrow areas and narrow pathways so that he can lead the sheep with confidence. But it's also there to just guide and shape and point the sheep in the right direction. It just gives an extra extension to his arm as he just gently makes sure they go in the right direction. The psalmist is comforted by the fact that God is able to protect and to guide. So here in the words of the psalmist, we have a picture of God as the good shepherd who brings his people to good places, to safe places, to places of stillness and tranquility. The God who keeps his people safe during dark and difficult times. The God who prepares a place of celebration for his people. And that brings me to the reading we had from John's Gospel. Because in this short passage, we have Jesus describing himself as the good shepherd. In other words, he does all the things that the psalmist expects. Which seems good. But it's not all what it seems. Because when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," he's doing it for a reason. And he's doing it because he's looking at other people who have set themselves up as the leaders and guiders of God's people. And he's saying, "I'm different than they are." If you were to read back into the Bible, if you were to go back into the Old Testament, if you were to go back into the book of Ezekiel, you would find there's a passage in Ezekiel that talks about how the shepherds at the time became really bad shepherds. They became just basically doing the job for their own sake. They fattened the sheep so they could eat them. They used the wool for their own benefit. Jesus says he's not like that. And you see that in the way he says to the people, "I'm not like the hired hand. I'm not the shepherd who's only doing this for money. I'm different." Jesus is much more invested in the work of the shepherd than the hired hand ever is. In fact, we get a hint of how invested he is in the last bit of the reading from John's Gospel. He says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep know my voice, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And Jesus is pointing towards the time when he will go to the cross and he will die. And he's willing to do that for the sheep, for the people, for God's people. He's willing to lay down his life for those he cares for. Us. But of course, the story doesn't end there. And if we were to continue in John's Gospel, we would find that Jesus rises from the dead. If we were to read just a little bit further on in John chapter 10, we would see that Jesus said, "I lay down my life, but I take it up again." 3 days after he dies, Jesus rises from the dead. And so in Jesus, we have, in effect, a shepherd that not only is able to help us in this life, but is able to take us through that transition period from this life to the next. We have a shepherd who has encountered death and is able to lead us beyond it. In Jesus, we not only find a shepherd who can lead us to good places, not only lead us through the dark and difficult times, not only a shepherd who comes to us and cares for us, whenever the time may be, might come, he's able to lead us through death into the presence of God. And all he asks of us is to trust him, to allow him to lead us and guide us through this life, and be ready to take his hand when he leads us into the next. And that leaves me wondering, if you're a Christian and have been following Jesus for a long time, will you let him lead you deeper into life with him? Will you trust him to guide you through the darkest places so you can enjoy that anointing when it comes in that eternal presence of God? And if you don't call yourself a Christian this morning, if you're here because you were invited and you're just inquiring, you're just interested in what happens in the church and what the message of the Christian message is, maybe you'd like to think about the times when you become a little lost. The times when you've trusted people to lead you and yet they've ended up leading you into a difficult or dangerous place. The times when life seems to be chasing after the wind and seems to have no real direction or purpose. And I wonder whether you might consider allowing Jesus to become your shepherd, to allow him to lead you to the places that are good, to allow him to guide you and protect you through the dark and difficult times of life, and to prepare you for a place in the presence of God. I wonder whether you might just begin to trust in Jesus, whether that is for the first time, or whether that means trusting him to a little bit more each day. I wonder. Amen. At this point in our regular worship service, we have prayers for ourselves and others. And if you are a regular worshiper here at St. Andrew Street Baptist, then you are in for an absolute treat today, because three members of the Andy's team are going to come and lead us in prayer. But they're going to lead us in three different languages, Mandarin, English, and Spanish. Come and lead us in prayer.
Hello, I'm Yu Kun, I'm from China. I will use John chapter 1, some verses to pray, so more and more people can know our God. 亲爱的天父，我们为着你的名祷告，你是全能的主，你掌管我们的生命，愿世人都认识你，看到你的创造，奇妙的救恩，完美无瑕的爱。亲爱的主，万有是借着你造的，凡被造的，没有一样不是你造的。在你里面有生命，这生命就是人的光，光照在黑暗中，黑暗不能胜过光。你就是那真光，凡接受你的，就是信你名的人，你就赐给他们权力，成为你的儿女。主啊，求你打开更多人的眼睛，叫那些还没有认识你的人，可以知道得救的好消息，可以认识到我们的罪，没有你，我们只能生活在黑暗中。帮助那些人可以看到你是我们生命的光，我们可以做你的儿女，享受你对我们的爱。愿你更多的带领福音事工，让福音传到世界的每个角落。In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hello, I'm Karen. I'm from Mexico, and I'll be praying in Spanish for the pandemic and peace around the world. Padre Celestial, Dios Todopoderoso, Creador del cielo y de la tierra, gracias por este día más de vida que nos das y por la oportunidad de reunirnos juntos. Padre, gracias porque tú mandaste a tu Hijo para darnos salvación y sanidad. Y en este momento queremos pedir por todas las personas que tienen COVID alrededor del mundo. Padre, te pedimos que tú los sanes y que seas con ellos. Y también te pedimos que los bendigas y que bendigas a sus familias. Y Padre, te pedimos que todo el mundo pueda llegar a saber de ti y a conocer a tu Hijo. Y gracias porque sabemos que toda rodilla se doblará ante Cristo algún día. Y gracias porque Cristo es el Príncipe de Paz. Te pido que nos llenes de esa paz que sobrepasa todo entendimiento y que nos ayudes a reflejarte siempre en todo lo que hagamos. En el nombre de Cristo Jesús. Amén.
Amén.
Hello, I'm Oliver, and I'll pray in English. Don't really need to say what I'm going to pray about, but Father, thank you for all the opportunities that you give us every day to share the good news with our friends, those who live in the same house as us, or even strangers on the street. I pray, though, that we ourselves may hear and understand your news. May our hearts accept it. May we not be hypocritical when we go out and tell people how great you are. May our actions reflect the transformation that you have done in our hearts. And may you give us peace and the joy that we know your gospel and your spirit can bring. Therefore, may the gospel be shown externally, not just by our words, but the very things that we do. And may we be effective and loving welcomes into your house, into heaven, into your presence. I pray for those that we meet, that their hearts may be open. But I pray that we can be loving and patient and kind with them, no matter if it's hard at times or even if we're just too tired. Father, I pray all these things, Mandarin, Spanish, and English, in the name of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much.